A parade of scientists came before a Senate subcommittee today to deliver two clear messages. First, that embryonic stem cells hold great promise for treating human diseases. And second, that Bush administration policies are stifling research on these cells. Those policies place strict limits on the stem cells scientists may study with federal support. NPR's Joe Palca reports.
Embryonic stem cells are those remarkable cells that have the ability to turn into any cell type in the body. 4 years ago, news that James Thompson of the University of Wisconsin had succeeded for the first time in growing these so-called human ES cells electrified the scientific community. But today, as four leading stem cell scientists came to the microphone to tell senators about their hopes for stem cell research, their tone was more one of frustration than optimism. Listen to Harvard researcher George Daly with the Whitehead Institute in Cambridge.
My team was one of the first in the U.S. to gain access to the ES cells that Jamie Thompson and his colleagues derived at the University of Wisconsin. However, since obtaining that single cell line in mid-2000, we've been frustrated in attempts to obtain another. 1 week ago, after nearly 2 years of inquiries with a number of other research groups, we finally received our second line.
The situation is even worse for Kurt Siven from Johns Hopkins University.
More than a year after the president's announcement, I am still waiting to receive my very first stem cell line.
Things aren't much better for Gerald Schotten at the University of Pittsburgh.
To obtain approved lines, I've traveled to Europe and Asia to collaborate with scientists in Korea, Singapore, Australia, Sweden, and the UK. They're willing and motivated, but shouldn't American science also be conducted on American soil?
In each case, scientists blame their frustration on Bush administration policies. To create what scientists call a stem cell line, you need to destroy a human embryo. Scientists typically get these embryos from fertility clinics, which discard excess embryos couples no longer need to have a baby. The president declared that only stem cell lines created before August 9, 2001, were eligible for federal research support. Administration officials have argued that more than 5 dozen cell lines meet that criterion, but researchers say the number of lines actually available is closer to a half dozen. Elias Zerhouni agrees that cells have been slow to get into the hands of researchers. Zerhouni is the director of the Federal National Institutes of Health, which implements the administration's stem cell policies.
I think the progress is being made, and we are as diligently as possible working with as many sources as we can to make more lines available.
But the need for more lines is just part of the problem, says researcher Roger Peterson. Peterson is a stem cell researcher who left the United States to work in England, where Tony Blair's government aggressively supports stem cell research.
I think this number issue is a red herring, because to go into patient care, the existing lines are not really useful, because they've all been grown with a combination of mouse cells, which makes them unsuitable for transplantation. So the actual number of suitable lines for transplantation is zero.
Under President Bush's policy, no new lines may be studied with federal money. Even though private support is available, without federal dollars, Harvard's George Daly sees both short and long-term problems.
I would say that the field of ESL research is in a fragile state at best under the current presidential policy. The current policy represents a half-hearted effort to support this revolution in biology and threatens to starve the field at a time when greater nourishment is critical.
Today's hearing was chaired by Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter. He says there are the votes in the Senate to overrule the president's stem cell policy, but he acknowledges that with all the other things left to do, a Senate vote this year is unlikely. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.